Issues Rage, finally with myself and Dr. Jarko, right here on the BigVitoBrand.com, and also coming to you on NoDQ.com. Jarko, what's going on? Haven't had you on the review for a while because you moved in your work schedule. I know we did sit downs with Vito, and I think the weeks that we don't do the sit downs, that's when maybe you and I can do a raid. So we'll pretty much do something every Thursday evening before you got to go to work. What's up?
What's going on, man? It's good to be back, sitting here inside of the new Evening Sun studio from beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Life is crazy. Life is good. Life is overwhelming. But, you know, we keep on plugging. We keep on getting through it. And I'm happy to be sitting here with you. I know we're going to talk about some of the topics that you got planned for the review. I miss all my boys over at No DQ. Been getting down on a couple of the prediction shows. It'd probably help if I watched a little bit of WWE. But, you know, things are what they are, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm getting old, man. I have Vicks on. I have Icy Hot on my back. I took a couple aspirin.
Yep.
But yeah, here I am on a Thursday evening. But I don't know. I'm going to be 42 this year.
I feel you, man. I'm 42 right now. My chiropractor loves me.
Now, I work in an office, and sometimes I'll go into clients, manufacturer buildings, office buildings. So I do some walking. But, I, you know, I don't have to do too much lifting. But wrestlers, we know the nature of their game is physicality. And through the history of wrestling, there's always been injuries. There's been significant injuries. But, you know, a lot of the old school injuries, workers could change their style of match and work through injuries. And, you know, even though the crowds of today would have never enjoyed those matches because they couldn't do what they normally could do, back then, they were able to pull it off. Well, we have injuries galore these days, Jarko. And I'm speaking of Cody Rhodes now, and he worked through it. And I know you have something to say about this. And CM Punk relinquishing, or he wanted to relinquish his title. Tony Khan said no. So let's talk about the injuries first. Like, there's been a lot of them for the last couple of years in wrestling. But Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, I don't even know what CM Punk's injury is. Do you?
It sounds like a broken ankle.
Oh, okay. So he's going to be off for quite some time.
Yep.
But the Cody Rhodes one, however it happened, like that stuff happens. Why did he work through it? Like, is he impressing? Was he impressing Vince McMahon? Hey, I'm your guy. So when I'm back, you can trust me. Like, what went through his mind there? There's no way that was a work, that was makeup. Tom Savini is great at makeup. I don't even think he could have pulled that off.
No.
What's your thoughts here of him working through that?
Well, number one, I think he's an absolute freaking moron. I've seen a lot of people kissing Cody's ass on this thing. And number one, I already had all the respect in the world for Cody Rhodes. He didn't have to go out there and prove how tough he was to me. I already knew that. My bigger issues, though, workers are going to want to work. I understand that. But WWE has been so outspoken about how, oh, no, injuries. We're paying real close attention to that. We're not going to let our guys work injured. And then they let Cody go out and do that. I'm upset with Seth Rollins because when you get into a ring with somebody, you are putting your life in their hands, or in Cody's case, hand, because he couldn't use his other arm. That worries me, and that I consider a questionable call inside of the judgment. That's before you even get to the Cody aspect of things. And it's not so much when it's torn, you know it's torn, right? It's not going to get more torn in doing a wrestling match. But there is – Kimura is just going crazy. I don't know if you can hear my dog, but she is outspoken about this too. She is very upset with Cody Rhodes, mostly because Cody owes me money. That's the real root of this entire thing. But more importantly, if Cody would have dropped Seth, Cody would have to live with that, right? Like, when you go into a wrestling match, you need both of your arms. You need both of your legs. You need to create movement. Cody couldn't do those things. The match was fine. I very much question the outcome of the match, considering we're not going to see Cody again until the Rumble, and Seth had to come to work on Monday. So I'm not really sure. Like, why would you not put Seth Rollins over in that situation? You need somebody to carry the damn brand for the next 6 months while Cody's on the shelf. The thing that really bugs me, though, the two best events in pro wrestling, if you're a WWE fan, are the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. And I feel like both of those things are completely determined now. Cody's coming back for the Rumble. Cody's going to win the Rumble. Cody's going to go on to WrestleMania. He's going to defeat Roman Reigns for the championship of the universe. And then things are going to continue on their merry way. If I'm Roman, I'm even pissed because I was supposed to be getting time off, damn it. I was supposed to get the summer off, come back at SummerSlam. But no, now I'm going to have to carry this company on my back a little bit longer.
So you're calling WrestleMania next year. You're skipping over The Rock. You don't think that's going to happen?
No, I don't. I don't think it's going to happen. I haven't thought it was going to happen. I mean, I think it would cost WWE too much money for it to happen because, I mean, let's face it, The Rock is a big, rich movie star, and what it would cost WWE for the insurance policy alone is going to prevent things from happening. But I'm functioning under the impression it's going to be Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania. Cody wins the Rumble.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that at this point, but I'm holding out for the Bloodline feud. If Rock does a favor, like it would have to be Rock doing a favor and maybe funding a lot of it himself or making it happen, right, to do it for Roman. But again, Hollywood, number one priority.
Well, and
but yeah, it's nuts with Cody.
When you lose the results of the Rumble, you lose who's going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. I feel like it's predetermined Cody's going to win at WrestleMania at this point. It kind of pops the balloon, doesn't it?
Well, what about, I saw somebody tweet the other day that they think that Drew McIntyre is going to take the title from Reigns and Clash at the Castle. I don't
see it.
I mean, unless they do the let's split the titles up so only the WWE title is going to be on the line, Roman can still carry his Universal title after that, then I would say maybe. But, so Rollins, like you said, lost 3 times in a row to Cody on TV. And then he comes out and he does the handshake. And I knew this wasn't going to happen. Like, because I always hear like guys like Wade Keller, everybody should shake hands after it's all done. There's right. No, it's a sport and good sportsmanship. And so when that happened, I'm just like cringing. But I knew 3 losses in a row, Rollins coming back out to make it even worse.
Gotta for get Cody your heat to be back, out several brother.
Months. And yeah. And so I definitely expected that to happen. But, so you don't think Cody's coming back until Royal Rumble? Is this like a 6-month injury, even with the best surgeon?
I mean, best case scenario, you're looking probably 3 to 4 months. But then there's a difference between being healthy and being cleared to wrestle. Like, just the rehab that Cody's going to have to put in after he is healed up. I think best case scenario, you're looking at Royal Rumble. And that's fine with me because it was kind of said that Cody was going to win Money in the Bank, right? And that's what everybody's really worried about now is what do we do about Money in the Bank? That's very much a heel thing to me. Like, the Royal Rumble is a babyface match. You want a babyface going over. You want him to face the heel champion at WrestleMania. You get that grand moment.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank is a heel moment, right? Like, because the cash in, everything about Money in the Bank is built for a heel to win it. It's just a matter of which heel do you go with at this point.
Seth Rollins, he loses 3 times to Cody. And he had the big win years ago and cashed it in against Brock and Roman at WrestleMania. Maybe it's Seth Rollins, but we'll see, right? There's a lot of younger guys they could go with.
Maybe
it's not going to be in a stadium.
After what happened with Finn Balor and Edge Monday night on Raw, maybe it's Finn Balor and they elevate him to that heel status as the number one heel with the cash in.
And we're going to talk about that shortly. First, let's go over to AEW. So CM Punk gets injured. Now, he's still the champion, right?
Right.
Tony Khan said, when you come back, when you're healthy, you'll be the champion, but we're going to have another champion. They call it the interim champion, crowned, and they're going to face off when CM Punk is healthy. Now, do we know the details of this? Like, I hear rumors. Like, we know Moxley is one half of that match.
Right.
How are they determining his opponent? A battle royal?
No. So, well,
okay, because that would have been weird. That would have been dumb.
Well, Wednesday night on Dynamite, they had the Battle Royal to see who was going to face Jon Moxley, and then the winner of that match moved on to Forbidden Door, right? So,
okay. So
that's how the Kyle O'Reilly versus Moxley match happened last night. Moxley goes over, Moxley goes on to Forbidden Door. On the New Japan side of things, this Sunday is Dominion. which is one of their larger shows of the year. There's Wrestle Kingdom, there's Dominion, there's King of Pro Wrestling, of course, the G1 Climax, Best of Super Juniors, but those are tournaments, they're multi-events. As far as a single show goes, Dominion, arguably the second biggest show that the company puts on every year, typically inside of Osaka Joe Castle, which is the most beautiful venue on the face of the freaking planet, and nobody's going to change my mind otherwise. So at Dominion, it was already set up. It was going to be Tanahashi versus CM Punk. But
I thought that was going to be Forbidden Door.
Right, right. Okay. But now Tanahashi has to beat Hirooki Goto in order to go on to Forbidden Door to face Jon Moxley, which is a very convoluted way of getting to a match they've been advertising for the better part of 3 years. Because Moxley's been talking smack about Tanahashi since before the pandemic started. This feud started over the IWGP United States Championship, and Tanahashi's been ducking Moxley and Moxley's twisted kind of viewpoint on the entire situation. So it was like, okay, cool, Tanahashi's already in. We put in Moxley. We finally get this big match. No, yeah. Now Tanahashi has to beat Hirooki Goto. For some inexplicable reason, Hirooki Goto is now involved in this whole thing. And if you don't know Hirooki Goto, he is the Roman Reigns of New Japan Pro Wrestling. They try to push the guy. They try to make him the lead babyface. He gets booed out of the building. People are just not into Hirooki Goto. But somehow, some way, Hirooki Goto has found his way into a qualifying match with Hiroshi Tanahashi that he's not going to win.
So let me get this straight. There's a potential match for Tanahashi and Moxley. There's been.
Correct.
Are they saving that for, like, Wrestle Kingdom? Like, could we see Goto and Moxley now at Forbidden Door? So they, because again, they were painted into a corner because of the CM Punk injury.
They were.
But could it, is, and then, of course, I think Moxley is going to be the interim AEW champion. Yeah. That's pretty much written on the wall, but I don't know.
I think there is a 0% chance Hirooki Goto is going to win this match. The thing is, they sold out the United Center kind of. The last time they were at the United Center was the promise of CM Punk, right? Like, he sold the place out without ever being announced. This time, he sold the place out under the assumption he would be in the main event. If you're not going to have CM Punk in the main event, your other options are Jon Moxley versus Hiroshi Tanahashi or Toru Yano versus Colt Cabana so that you get that hometown connection. I think they're going to go with Moxley versus Tanahashi. And then maybe you do get the rematch inside of the Dome January 4th. But I think with the importance of this show and for the ticket market, because they don't want people just moving those tickets for no apparent reason. Yeah. I think they're going to give them a big match in Tanahashi versus Moxley, and it'll probably be a 4-star match, and Moxley's going to win, and Moxley will be your interim champion.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, at the end, Moxley should be that AEW world champion, the interim one. Now, before we get to the Judgment Day and maybe why this happened, I'm going to give you three letters, and you tell me what's on your mind. MJF.
I think it's brilliant. I think what they're doing right now is...
Are we on the same page that this is a work?
Absolutely.
Because there's no way he does what he does on TV if there's legitimate heat. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we are very much on the same page.
I was going crazy when people are buying into it, but it could be dirt sheets playing along.
Well, I think there's certain elements to this thing that are a shoot. I think it started a work, and then it kind of became a shoot, and then it went back to being a work, and, you know, things are the way that they are right now. Yeah. I thought it was very, very smart for AEW this week to keep MJF off of TV, because it kind of advances the whole, nope, MJF is suspended. He's been released.
It hurts him from everything. Merch.
Yeah.
Advertised.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is actually really, really smart. Yeah. But I feel like it's the Brian Pillman thing, just from a very different perspective. It started with the Ric Flair Fire Me promo, and now it's turning into the Brian Pillman loose cannon kind of thing. And I think that's really, really smart for AEW. But the longer you can keep MJF out of the picture, the better off everything's going to be. I feel bad for MJF with this Punk injury, because I kind of feel like the cards were really there for MJF to Punk, CM Punk, in Chicago at All Out and take the title and quote unquote leave the company. So you kind of shift those plans around a little bit. But I feel like MJF in the CM Punk thing is really getting the short end of the stick.
Dude, and we'll see how it plays out. I'm intrigued, right? I mean, to me, wrestling is always a work if they're on TV. You can shoot. There's elements of shoot in it, right? Because we've had that in the past. But
here's the,
the mic was cut way late. Like, you know what I mean?
The other one that I think is stupid right now is I think AEW really missed an opportunity with Hangman Page. We got the thrill of victory with CM Punk to open Dynamite, that Dynamite right after the pay-per-view. Where was the agony of defeat with Hangman Adam Page, right? Like, where was Hangman sitting in a bar somewhere deciding, you know, should I drink this beer? Should I not drink this beer? I should have hit him in the face with the belt. No, I shouldn't have hit him in the face with the belt. Like, where's that inner struggle with Hangman Adam Page? Instead, he just shows up last night like nothing ever happened and calls out the greatest professional wrestler walking God's green earth today in Kazuchika Okada. I had heard that this match had been reported, like this was going to be the match at Forbidden Door. We've seen this match, and Okada has put Hangman down time after time after time. And I expect it's going to be exactly the same thing here. And where does Hangman go then?
I mean, AEW mid-card. By the way, they got new titles. They're bringing out All-Atlantic Champion. What is that? I saw it, but I didn't research it. Like, do you know even know what that is? Is it going to be their inner... Like, what's All-Atlantic? Are they pushing... Like the other side of the pond, like a European title.
So the way it looks like it's set up to me is it's going to be an international flavor championship, right? So you've had like Pac is in this tournament, Pentagon Obscuro is in this tournament, Pac, Miro, they're going to have a match in New Japan to have a qualifier, and then they're going to have a four-way at Forbidden Door to crown this new champion. What I hope they do is in the world of Stardom, they have this thing called the SWA Championship, right? And it's treated very much on kind of even ground with their main championship because all of their championships are treated that way inside of Stardom. But the big thing about that title is you can only defend it against people of a separate nationality. So if you have a Japanese champion, they can only defend against people from the United States. They can only defend against people from Europe, from Australia. If they do something like that inside of the world of AEW, where there's a reason for this championship, cool. Otherwise, I feel like it's New Japan and it's just everybody gets a belt.
Yeah, I mean, remember, they got the TNT title still as well. I think it's on Scorpio Sky again, right?
Right, but I mean, even when you think back to WCW, right? Like, you had the United States champion, you had the TV champion. Those two titles could be presented on the same level, depending on who was holding that championship. Hopefully, that's what they do here. I still think trios titles are a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, I agree. Now, back to WWE. Judgment Day. Edge was building a group. He cut his hair. I think he was having fun with this, you know, cutting the promos, you know, calling the fans out when they did the what chants, all that good stuff. Rhea Ripley brought her in. Damian Priest, let's build up these stars. And there was always rumors who else could join. Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor. Guess what? Finn Balor joined because we were always wondering what are they going to do with Finn Balor? Remember, he had that little stint in NXT again. But the whole thing where he came back as a demon and the ropes broke, they just kind of who cares about Finn Balor? So him joining, I'm like, all right. But then I'm scratching my head for a second. Like, well, he's in this group, but he's just like a disciple of Edge's. But I never expected a turn, at least this soon. I figured it would have been, let's build the group up, and then we'll all eventually turn, right, like they do in the past. Here's my theories. Now, you hear on the internet, like, Vince McMahon wanted this to be a supernatural thing, right? Because he always loves his supernatural stuff. No more Fiend and Bray Wyatt. Let's make Judgment Day supernatural. And Edge wasn't having it. Again, dirt sheet gossip. I don't buy it unless I see it. Coincidentally, Cody out. Edge probably going to be a baby face, although he's going to have some explaining to do. But why do you think this happened? I'm not opposed to it, but it seemed abrupt.
It's definitely abrupt. Let me flip things around and ask you a question.
Okay.
without Cody Rhodes on the roster, who is the number one babyface on Monday Night Raw?
I mean, I can't even say it's AJ Styles.
And
but like
that becomes the problem, right? I mean, who is the lead babyface? And I think
Orton's hurt.
I think this is a direct result of the Cody injury. I don't think they turn Edge babyface if it's not for that. My problem is a heel turning on a heel does not make one of those heels a babyface. Like you said, Edge has got some explaining to do here. And I'm even fine with the group. Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley have been doing some stuff together on the house show circuit. Things see they have pretty good chemistry. Damian Priest and Finn Balor were doing things. God, it seems like almost a year ago. I thought they were going to team those two guys up. They were going to kind of do like a Bad Luck Fale, Finn Balor, Prince Devitt kind of thing, which is the way Bullet Club started. I could get down with that. But this just seems very out of nowhere. The most intriguing thing to me is where does AJ Styles stand, right? Because AJ's been buddies with Finn lately. He's been hanging out with Liv Morgan. We know he doesn't trust Edge. That's the way this whole Judgment Day thing started. So it's a really kind of convoluted picture that we have here. I'm terrified that Edge and AJ Styles are going to be stuck in endless tag matches with Finn Balor and Damian Priest, with Rhea Ripley on the outside as kind of, you know, the in the China role. That's kind of where I see things right at the moment. Is it going to work? I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work or not. And it really depends on how do they rehabilitate Finn Balor inside of the booking. I mean, he's been treated like such a loser ever since he had to relinquish the Universal Championship. I don't know if they can make Finn Balor that lead kind of heel that you need to dominate a faction like that.
Say this goes a supernatural route, because Vince McMahon. Is the demon even usable here? Has the demon always been a baby face in the NXT WWE universe? I think so.
I think so.
Maybe early on, and maybe, I don't know. But like, is that why? I don't know.
It's complicated because it's a demon is a heel gimmick, right? Like the demon should be a heel gimmick, but it's such a babyface entrance that people want to cheer it, right? So it's really going to depend on how can Finn adapt his style inside of the ring to come across more as a heel. Now, I mean, I've seen him as a heel. I know you've seen him work as a heel, and he can pull it off. But can he pull it off against people like Randy Orton? Can he pull it off against people like Bobby Lashley, against people like Roman Reigns that are so much bigger than he is? Having an undersized heel is really, really difficult.
See, he's going to be talking, right, as a heel with this group.
Right.
And, could you see him in the ring telling the fans, oh, you want the demon. You want Judgment Day to be about the demon. Well, he was never for you, and you're never going to see him because the real demon is this guy right here.
Right.
There it is. Don't even have to ever bring him back. Yeah. Finn Balor can present himself as the demon without the gimmick. Listen, I don't know.
The best heel in the company right now is Baron freaking Corbin because he refused to pull out the table. Right? Like, that was the biggest heel move during the pay-per-view, was Baron Corbin not pulling out a table and giving the fans what they wanted. That's what a heel should be doing.
Well, Jargo, another great discussion, and there's going to be more stuff, I'm sure, whether it's a sit-down we do with Vito next time, or we do another Rage. We might even dive into Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins next time, because where do these guys go next? So I like to leave the cliffhangers, so when we do this again, we have a main topic to talk about. Anything you want to say in closing?
Social media at Not Jargo. Of course, keep up with me over at the Hameen Media Group, channelattitude.com. You can also find the Big V Mafia, the Big Vito brand over there. And of course, nodq.com, as well as blowoffpod.com. Catch myself and the COVID kid, Jimmy T, as we sit down and we talk about all the world of professional wrestling. This week, we even had a Dominion preview. So you can go ahead, find that over on YouTube. Just search the Blow Off Pod. It should pop up there for you. Hit the little button so you know when we go live, and you can be cool just like Aaron Rift, and you can tune in and watch us spew our BS about professional wrestling.
Always a blast doing a show with you. People, you can follow me on Twitter if you dare at @NoDQ_Virtue, and I'll be back with Jargo again very soon. This has been Virtue's Rage right here on the BigVitoBrand.com. And also, I'm sending it over to Aaron Rift at NoDQ.com. Thanks for watching, listening, whatever. We'll do this again next time. Later.